This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Radio Law Talk, hour number three, where you receive wonderful insights to cases that we're talking about. We try to not talk about the same thing that everybody is talking about in the political world. We're talking about legal cases, but we are talking about Weinstein for the past 3 weeks, and we finished that in hour one and part of hour two. Join us today at the third hour. We're going to discuss Roger Stone's sentence and a little twist about the judge, what the judge has to decide. He was sentenced already this week. Who's paying the $113 million bill to the city of Michigan for allegedly polluting drinking water, or the allegations of that, because it's settled out of court? And the most important thing that Denise even said she's excited to talk about, because everybody uses this, not everybody, but many of the lawyers use this, is psychiatric tests in court they use for different things. And USC and ASU, Arizona State University, University of Southern California, professors did a study on it, and the study is very interesting to discuss as to whether or not a lot of these specific tests should be used or not, which are very important. It determines someone's sentence or guilt or innocence a lot of times. And then if we can get to it, we're just...
Or losing children.
Yeah, or losing children, that's right. And if we can get to it, we got a lot of other things to discuss. But what everybody loves, again, like I said, is our case or no case. Cal, why don't you roll case or no case?
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay!
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our feature case or no case right here on Radio Law Talk. And let's see, where is it? I am just waiting for my document to refresh itself on my cell phone, so forgive me. Oh, boy.
When that happens, does the document show up and go, whew, I am so refreshed.
Oh,
I am
right.
Glad that I had a chance to step out and I had a spritz.
Have
and,
a little
know,
suntan going on.
I know. Yes, I just...
Oh, it's so refreshed.
Like just stepping out of the boys' room. Tawny James lived in southwestern Idaho, right between Boise and Twin Falls. She was charged with shoplifting a book of patterns from the Snake River Sewing Store in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Huh.
She insisted that the store clerk had allowed her to borrow it, and she said there's proof on the store security cameras. Just look at the video. And she went to her husband, Ralph, and asked if she could get a lawyer. And Ralph said, sure, because my buddies at the feed store calling my wife a thief, and I want your name cleared. So let's do something about this. And so I ask you, case or no case? Wait, I'm not done yet. So she got a lawyer.
Yeah, thank you.
And she paid Mr. Mark Briggs the $5,000 he wanted up front. And suddenly, Mr. Briggs was nowhere to be found. He missed a filing deadline, did not show up for a preliminary hearing, and when he did file, he filed the wrong paperwork. When Tawny asked him about this, he said, sure, I made a few mistakes, but they were not intentional. That was just sloppy. She said, I've never heard of an attorney making that many mistakes. And he said, actually, that's pretty normal. And she said, I don't think so. So she went to Mark's lawyer uncle, Archie, because she wanted to sue Mark for improper lawyering. And so I ask you, Todd, I'm going to start with you. It's your turn. Case or no case? What say you, my friend?
We're all at zero now. We're starting from ground zero.
All right. Brand new case or no case. That's correct.
Did I do something to you, Cal? Did I step on your line in golf?
No, you're fine.
I mean, Cal, you start with me on this. Okay. So she retains the attorney, pays $5,000, and he promptly stops her. Misses court dates and misses filing stuff. And
messes up, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's common sometimes for attorneys to make a mistake here and there, but not that many. And certainly it is unforgivable to miss a court date without having somebody there to appear for you if you're double booked. Sometimes that happens, but yeah, not this kind of conduct. The conduct as described in this scenario, not common and definitely inappropriate. And the question I have is, she went to another attorney to sue him as opposed to picking up the phone and calling the state bar and complaining about...
Well, she didn't know what to do. She knew his uncle was a lawyer. She figured if I call this guy, he'll be able to get Todd off the dime and get moving him here a little. Or Mr. Briggs off the dime. Get him moving. You know?
So I'm going to say... I'm gonna say
I didn't mean Todd, sorry.
Thank you.
I am so sorry, Todd. Holy crackers. I blew that
All of a sudden, my law practice just... up its... You know... Fred's over here going, I hope you know how to act because your law practice is gone. So,
Mark Asborn.
Yes. I'm going to say this is an actual scenario. I'm going to also say that she was advised to call the state bar to take... Do we have any facts about whether or not the call to her uncle or friend about her what her attorney was doing happened before or after the resolution of her criminal case? Or was the case
That's
still
an important
pending?
Factor.
That's a great question, isn't it?
Yes. You didn't think about that when you were making this one up.
No, I'm telling you exactly what happened, if you'd like.
Okay,
she went. She had to turn back in the book. She had to pay a small fine. The judge said you were improperly charged. A good lawyer would have solved that problem because this was a misdemeanor. And then she started reaching out and trying to fix the bad lawyering issue.
Okay, so all of this is taking place after a determination.
The bad lawyering is taking place after the alleged theft case is handled. Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
Well, that makes things easier. I believe that she retains an attorney, comes in, and gets her... gets her case, her conviction overturned on an ineffective assistance of counsel theory. That's my story, and I'm sticking by it.
Would she get her $5,000 back?
If she could.
Yeah, if he had it.
If he had it, there was probably an order that he pay her back that. Whether she was able to collect is a different story.
Good. Thank you, Todd.
So you're saying that she did sue Mark.
She sued Mark to get the cash.
Okay.
And to get her case overturned.
Yeah. What say you, Danae?
For professional malpractice, he certainly committed it. But what are her damages? The reality is she was not convicted of theft. She actually was exonerated of the theft, and the judge told her that she's, you're good to go because you proved that you had borrowed the patterns and didn't steal the patterns. So she got her name, in essence, reclaimed or cleared of any bad things. So the only thing she's really out is the $5,000. Now the question is, how smart is it for you, if you're wronged by an attorney, to go to that attorney's uncle? What the heck?
Well, it's Idaho. You know, this
Why
is how you get things done
uncle?
In Idaho. You call somebody's uncle or dad.
So, honestly, if she went to that uncle, and it's going to depend on what the uncle told him. If the uncle called the nephew and said, return the money, then everything's good. But if that uncle said, oh, it's okay, everything's right, and he confirms what the attorney said about there being no professional malpractice, then he should be turned into the state bar, right? So... I think that the uncle told Mark to return the $5,000, and she gets it. But I don't think she sues him.
And maybe and walk away and don't do this again. Maybe.
Exactly.
So you're saying that's what do you say? Case or no case?
Well, that's the problem. I don't think there was a lawsuit. It's definitely a scenario, but I think she gets her money back.
Okay.
So what is that?
That would be no case, out-of-court resolution, because no case was filed. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Okay.
You're saying there's a case, but it will settle out of court.
Scenario. Well, I don't think she filed anything with
the
court.
So you're saying no case.
I'm saying no case, but it was resolved.
That doesn't matter. It's a no case.
Yeah, because nothing was filed.
Hey, all I got to say is I got a very interesting twist on this.
Oh, don't.
When we come back, I've got a great twist on this. I am telling you... We're going to be back with Case or No Case. I'm Fred Pitty, your host, 855. 855- Live Law Radio, or tweet us at Radio Law Talk. We'll be back.
See how much fun I get to have here on this side of the board? Don't worry, more Radio Law Talk is coming right up right here, including the resolution of this perplexing case or no case. That's right after this. Don't go away.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Rossbach here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4-LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Sturks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4-LAW or see us at PennyAndAssociates.com. See, that wasn't so bad.
I'm going to Quick Quack Car Wash. Get my car washed, make it quick, quack, pretty, shiny, sexy, just because I want to. Don't drive dirty. Going to get my car suds at the Quick Quack Car Wash. It's the Quick Quack, quickest and the cleanest by far. We're talking 3 skinny minutes sitting right in your car wash, 100 feet of cloth, washing your car at the Quick Quack Car Wash. Any Honda, Mazda, Ford, or Chevy, Saab, or Cadillac, Quick Quack will spruce her up just like that. You'll be happy.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, come on. No points for you.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
Those of you who don't know, Cal Hunter is from Idaho. He likes to make things up out of Idaho.
Oh.
He enjoys Idaho area. He named some areas that he lived close to. He discussed an area that, of where, what happens in Idaho a lot because I live there. They have all these little sewing places, and this is exactly right up his alley to make this. This is a 100, as the old saying my grandpa used to say from the early 1900s, this is a bunch of horse pucky. And Cal, this is 100% made up, period. Next.
You would suggest that somehow I would come up with a phony story about someone suing an incompetent lawyer from Idaho.
You would suggest that, Mr. And that's not too far from where you grew up.
I don't think he's suggesting anything. I think he's outright.
I am somewhat accusatory. I would say.
If I was a betting man and we're in Vegas, I think I would have a lot of money.
You know how we always say on radio, like, "No, these are just allegations. Nothing's been proven." He's not alleging.
There's no allegation here. This is fact.
For those of you who say this was a case, may I see by show of hands? Oh, Todd, luckily you won the last one. It is a simple fact. No case here. Everybody move along. Nothing else
was
to see.
It made up, right, Cal?
Of course I made the whole thing up.
I knew it.
Yes.
Twin Falls, Idaho.
Yes, come on. I check these places.
You're
I check Idaho
today,
Falls.
Right?
I check Twin. Yeah. I check Boise. I check around for good cases, but this wasn't one of them.
On that note, though, there is an interesting case developing out of the state of Idaho.
Okay, what is
about
it?
A woman whose kids went missing.
Yes.
Then she skipped out on the court date or the date where she was supposed to show proof of where they were. She was found in Hawaii where she had moved with a new husband whose wife had suspiciously passed away earlier. They're all from that neck of the woods in Idaho.
And they got married.
And her husband had also been killed by her brother.
Right.
Exactly. Had been killed by her brother. The brother who also died in December.
Right.
So I'm going to do more research.
And they're
and
they're doomsdayers.
He's a doomsdayer.
They are.
Her new husband is a doomsday writer.
And that's how they met, because she would appear on his podcast.
What does writer mean?
Writer, author.
Yes.
He writes books about doomsday.
A doomsday, but I thought it was a religious cult. It's not?
No.
He's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Well,
and has taken off on his own little tangent of doomsday stuff and trying to get people to prepare for doomsday.
Okay.
So he's a prepper author, you could say, to the extreme.
I have only mentioned this as a tease for future shows because I want to research what's going on.
No, I will tell you one thing.
And figure stuff out.
I've studied this, and I didn't bring it up on purpose, but there's the most recent thing. By the way, let's back up. The big issue is she generally believes that doomsday, that Jesus Christ is coming, I believe, July 2021.
Very soon, or
July 2020, and she has been witnesses have said, she said it'd be better that my children were gone than we might as well drive off a cliff. And they haven't found the children since September. She has a 17-year-old and a 7-year-old, and the courts in Idaho, and by the way, they're in Hawaii.
Yes.
In Maui, I think.
Yes.
Anyway, and the courts have ordered, Todd, you might understand this, that she has to produce the children to make sure that they're alive, and they gave her a certain time, and it was a judge that ordered it, and the time passed, and she never produced the children. They really haven't been seen since September of 2019, and she has not produced the children. And by the way, in that same town in Rexburg, Idaho, where they were, there is video footage around that time of her and her brother at the time, who mysteriously died also, and her doomsday husband dragging out heavy totes. They're barely able to lift them out of this storage unit.
She was arrested in Hawaii. She is she is fighting extradition, so they have to do a whole extradition hearing.
Well, she may not yet. They don't know if she's fighting.
Look, the last thing I read was that she said she's fighting extradition. So we'll cover that as it comes up.
Yes.
We'll figure out what's going on and let you know here. That is,
and
you know,
Todd, I want to interrupt you. Then the issue is why she, you know, the laws about the issue of requiring her to show that her children are alive, and the reason they arrested her and brought her in is under these laws that you're not caring for your children.
Yes.
I don't remember all the details of the law.
So this, is it a juvenile court that's trying to protect the kids, or was it the guardianship of the grandparents? I mean, it seems like it's a family law court almost.
That's why
it's
I
a
said,
contempt issue,
that's
right?
That's why I said I wanted to tease it. I'll research more in the future.
Yes.
All I'm saying is, if you've ever heard the phrase, sometimes life is stranger than fiction, truth is stranger than fiction, this case is why that phrase exists.
I have reached out to one of my TV friends who's been covering this very closely, and we may be able to get him or her, it's a she, maybe able to get them on the show for
that
a moment, just to
great.
Give us some background.
That'd
if we
be
can.
Great.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, that would
yeah.
be wonderful. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to talk about that. That's a big... But Roger Stone, really quick. Roger Stone is a longtime political strategist for Donald Trump. Thursday, he was sentenced to 40 months in prison. Now, this is the judge that also was doing a number of sentencing in the... her name's Amy Jackson. She's been
Burma Jackson.
She's been doing a lot of the prosecutions in the
was she doing the sentencing in the Mueller
stuff. That's the word I was saying. Mueller stuff. And now this is Stone. He gets 40 months in prison for basically, they're saying, lying to Congress, and her whole argument is, of course, the argument is this is all politically based, and she says, no, this is has nothing to do with politics. He was prosecuted for covering up for the president, not for standing up for the president. And so there's going to be an issue, Todd, about a retrial.
That's right. We'll talk about it when we come back, because there might have been some juror misconduct.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, juror misconduct. And then we're going to discuss that, and then we're going to get into the water quality issue with the footwear maker that's going to pay some money to Michigan and some townships. We'll be back.
Well, a lot of stuff still to come right here on Radio Law Talk. You don't want to miss a second of it. Remember, we're live 9 to noon Pacific on many radio stations and at RadioLawTalk.com, and we post every episode afterward at RadioLawTalk.com as well. So there's plenty to listen to, and we'll be right back.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-814-5108. 800-814-5108. 800-814-5108. That's 800-814-5108.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Democratic presidential candidate Mike Bloomberg said that he's willing to release at least three women from non-disclosure agreements that prevented them from speaking publicly about harassment or discrimination suits filed against him over the last three decades. Bloomberg was attacked repeatedly this week in his debut debate for declining to release women from those non-disclosure agreements. He also said his company will not offer confidentiality agreements to resolve claims of sexual harassment or misconduct in the future. Marie Yovanovitch, who was ousted from her post as U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, has signed a book deal. Yovanovitch was a key witness in the House inquiry that led to President Donald Trump's attempted impeachment. The book is scheduled to be published in the spring of 2021. Financial terms were not disclosed, but people familiar with the deal told the Associated Press the agreement was worth over seven figures. This is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this. But you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Are you serious?
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed.
Now back to the show. Here you go, Fred, guys.
We were talking about Roger Stone. We're so fascinated with that Idaho case coming up. We were talking about that. But Roger Stone, there's one thing the judge is considering at this time.
Exactly, because there's this issue that came up in the trial that one of the jurors apparently was a bit more politically active and opposed to the Trump administration than she let on during jury selection. And it appears when reviewing, as the others had reviewed her, it's either Facebook or Twitter or both accounts, that she was making posts on social media while the trial was still going and during jury deliberations. Maybe not while she was in the jury room, but if you look at the timing, it would be when she got home, she's making posts after they would break for the day. And based upon her political bias and things that she had said, the defense has made a motion before this same judge for a new trial because they believe that they got one juror who was not being fair. And look, anything that I look at this is reading the tea leaves, but the judge who made these statements that many political and judicial commentators have said, boy, that seemed to kind of go over the top against Stone, the comments made by this judge. This is the same judge that's going to hear the motion for a new trial. And I look at this thinking, while these statements may look, make her look extremely biased and unfair and biased against Trump and Stone, if the same judge and the same facts knows that they are going to grant the motion for a new trial, what better way to demonstrate your impartiality than to say, look, you know, I don't like you, you don't like the president, but on these facts, this sets it up for that. It'll be interesting to see how she rules in the next week or so when that new trial motion.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, too, because she also mentioned that the prosecutors, the initial recommendation by the prosecutors was the correct way for them to do it, and that they needed to follow the original guidelines. But she did not take up their guidelines. She didn't grant a 7 to a 9 year. She only granted a 40 month.
That's right. And just to, I can't remember if we talked about this the last section, but the Attorney General, Bill Barr, this made news a couple weeks ago, when he read the sentencing recommendation from the four prosecutors that had been working on the Stone case, and the recommendation was 7 to 9 years, he, as the Attorney General, went in and overrode their sentencing recommendation, lowered it to like a 3 to 4 year sentencing recommendation. Those four prosecutors resigned. As you know, shortly after he did that,
they resigned from three resigned from the case, one resigned from the Justice Department.
Yes, I thought all of them had resigned from the Justice Department. The fact is, they were no longer on this case. So when the judge issued her ruling, it wasn't in line with the previous request for 7 to 9, but it was in line with the revised sentencing guidelines as requested. 3 to 4 years, she got four or three. And
right,
a half.
But I think the reason she took to task what had gone on in the Justice Department and all the you know, chaos that was going on was to show that she was not being biased by the Justice Department chaos, too. I think she was really trying to show her lack of bias in not just to Stone, but also to the political background.
So it'll be interesting to see how it works out.
So in Michigan, there's a company called Wolverine. It's a shoe company that makes shoes called
boots.
Wolverine,
yeah.
Boots, everything. They make Hush Puppies, by the way, which was in the 70s when I was growing up. That was the big shoe, Hush Puppies. Keds, which was big when I was young. Saucony and Stride Rite. Stride Rite's a big children's shoe.
Yeah. Did you ever wear Tough Skins? Remember those?
Tough Skins.
It was the jeans from Sears.
Yes.
And they had the robot that used to do
that.
Yes. They came
those.
In sizes slim and husky. And
they were reinforced in the knee, as I recall.
Yes.
Kind of, yeah, they last longer. That was the point.
Sorry, I did get it waxing nostalgic.
I'm like, what's the connection with
Wolverine?
Well,
here's the deal. Wolverine is basically the maker of a lot of these shoes, and they're based out of Lansing, Michigan area, and apparently there had been some, you know, over the years, they've been there 100 and, it said over 100 years, 140 years. And I'm saying to myself, be gentle. And again, I believe, you know, there are lawsuits and that's appropriate. Be gentle. You put them out of business. You know, this is a big employer over there. But they and 3M, who was part of this, whatever this glue or this chemical, got into the drinking water, got into the water system, and they have come up with a settlement that the court has agreed for $113 million, of which approximately, I believe, a significant amount 3M is paying for, $55 million. I believe is what 3M is paying for, and then let's see, the company is going to spend about $43.5 million on environmental investigation and remediation costs. That's what's going to go out, and then apparently they're going to be paying less than $55 million. That's the Shoemaker Wolverine, because the rest is coming out of 3M. Wait a minute, let's see.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
so 3M is paying $55 million. Wolverine's paying, I think it's $43.5 million. And what they're doing is they're going to help to connect municipal water to more than 1,000 properties. So they've agreed to help to improve some of the damage that they created, because all the damage is in the underwater structure that's in the well system, not the municipal.
Right.
Now, look. $113 million is certainly nothing to, you know, shake a stick at. That's a lot of money. But it does not even come close to taking the settlement or penalty cake imposed this week as a result of legal action. Now, this was a civil case.
Right.
But if you recall, previously on Radio Law Talk, we have talked about the Wells Fargo incident.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Where they were opening up these phantom accounts for people, for their clients, without letting them know. And that was a criminal case, not a class action where the most of the money goes to the attorneys that brought it. This was brought by the SEC and the government. And they reached a settlement in that one
just recently,
this last week, for $3 billion with a B, folks. Billion with a B, $3 billion against Wells Fargo, $500 million of which goes to investors who relied on their statements and then invested here and there. The other $2.5 billion goes to
government, basically.
Well, penalties, and goes to those that were harmed, as payment to them. So,
wow. I'm going to wait and watch my mail, because we have Wells Fargo.
That's it. You know, we don't give advice here on legal advice. The only thing I would say is, if you ever had a bank account with Wells Fargo, you might want to check your mail, because sometimes those notices can come, and it's easy to toss them because you think they're junk mail. Read your mail.
And will the notice be coming from the SEC?
It should be coming from the government to let them know that this is what happened.
And this is not a case where there's going to be a bunch of lawyers that make a lot of money either, right?
No, that's right. This is not a class action lawsuit where the lawyers make the most money.
Because those are the ones where they send them in deliberately print so small that you regard them, and the lawyers get to keep all the money then. If you don't,
come on, let's not rip on lawyers.
No, I'm just saying. No, they get all the dough.
Denise was actually going, yeah, the lawyers aren't going to make any this time.
Wait, like, let me finish. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Sure. Yes. We would not be able to pay for our big money we're making on Radio Law Talk.
We settled this case on faulty eye surgery, and we've given you the notice in the smallest print possible. Good luck.
You've got 22 hours to get this back.
Believe me, the people that want to get some of the money, they're going to have to prove that they have the accounts that were open improperly.
Right. Well,
they're still going to have to show those statements.
Here's the thing. They are and they aren't, because the evidence that they're going to have to show to prove that they're entitled to money is the same evidence the government would have had to have to charge them to begin with if the account was open. So the government's already got the evidence. And the reason you're getting a notice is because they have the evidence. They were able to identify who you were. That's why you got the letter. So I think it might be a little easy as far as that's concerned.
Because usually that's the hard part when you have, this isn't a typical class action.
That's right. This is a criminal prosecution.
That's right.
So.
But it always comes down to it's probably, you know,
doing a gift card that, you know, is only redeemable.
A Wells Fargo credit card. Yes.
And a brand new account. Hey, you know what? We're going to come back and talk about a USC and an ASU professor that get together and do research on psych testing use in court. This is very interesting. I know you think, okay, why is that interesting? Believe it or not, there's a substantial amount of this that's used in court to put people in jail, to take children away, to determine what they do in divorces, and they're finding some serious, serious flaws in this test. Now, we're going to be back and talk about it. You want to hear this.
Luckily, there's no psych test to listen to Radio Law Talk. You can do it anytime you want to. So stay tuned. There's more coming right up, right here on your favorite radio station and, of course, online from RadioLawTalk.com. Don't go away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hey, everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription-strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus the free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
The preceding promo was for entertainment purposes only. And if you want true legal advice,
you pay my fee. I'll take your case.
At Radio Law Talk.
Radio Law Talk. It's on Radio Law Talk.
Back to the show.
Well, that's kind of funny.
Well, it happens. It happens.
We like it.
Fred and I were talking in between the break, and I got distracted. It's
no,
my fault.
We're good.
Shame
we're
on
good.
Me.
Hey, you know what? We're talking about this critical psych test study. Now, what happens in courts is they'll bring psychiatrists in to determine, you know, culpability of this person or this person's psyche, determine whether or not the kids should go to this parent or that parent, or in a criminal case. And two professors, one out of USC and one out of ASU, they wanted to do a study to determine if these are really legitimate
type of psychiatric test that they should be using. Now, the new study examined 876 court cases in the U.S. between 2016 and 2018. Denise, what did they find?
There are different types of psychological testing.
Right.
First, you have intelligence tests. You have personality tests. You have attitude tests. You have achievement tests. You have aptitude tests. You have neuropsychological tests, vocational tests, and you have direct observation tests. So there's really nine type of tests. And what they found was that much of these testing are really unreliable, and they're not being challenged in the court structure or in the court system or in any court cases as to their reliability. And that's what they found. The psychological tools are just being admitted, and they're just maybe not as scientifically accepted as to meet the Kelly Fry standard.
Who came up with the idea to test the tests? Was that these professors
these
on
professors
their own?
Professors just said that, yeah, they basically said, we want to do this study and determine what's going on with these tests. Now, here's the issue. Did you know that in their tests they found out that only in 3% of the cases were any legal challenges brought forth as to the validity of the test? That is really low. Only 3% of the tests, they said, look, we're gonna challenge this. Not that they won, just the fact that they challenged only 3%.
I was in trial yesterday, and this issue comes up about whether or not it should be done. And very interestingly, the judge in our case mentioned that our case was not the type of case at all where it should be done, because there was a recommendation that it should be done. And the parties couldn't afford it, number one. Secondly, there was no indication that either party had any psychological problems. And when you're dealing with psychological testing to determine if you're going to be a good parent or not, there's a lot of assumptions you make in these psychological testings about personality disorders or about characteristics in personality that may or may not impact someone's parenting. So I'm not sure that it's a great tool in the context of custody of children, but it is commonly used and it is commonly accepted.
One of the tests they talk about, the one that they primarily focused on, was called the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, the MMPI. In the criminal sense, this is when the test is used. If somebody has been convicted of a violent sexual offense, when they get close to being released from prison, in some jurisdictions, California and others, about 6 months before the end of their prison date, somebody from the Department of Health will go in and interview the defendant who's about ready to be released. And they apply this test, which tests whether or not the personality traits of the individual, plus it's testing for psychopathology. And if they test, score high enough and show that they have some sort of personality disorder such that the person, the doctor believes that there is a risk that that person might reoffend, they then petition the county that incarcerated the person to have that person committed to the state mental hospital and for an indeterminate period of time. So as soon as they're done with prison, they think they're getting out. If the county does a trial on that, and a jury says, yep, we think that they are at risk, the person is designated a sexually violent predator, goes to the state mental hospital, and they may never get out.
But that's only on sexual crimes, though, right?
With sexually violent predators.
Yeah.
That's how the test is used. And if they're saying now this test doesn't work, there's people that have essentially been still committed to state custody using a test that might not be,
in effect, imprisoned after their term and unable to get out until they can pass this test that may or may not be applied arbitrarily. I mean, are there absolute finite standards, or is it? I mean, that's my
question. I'll go over that in a minute. Go ahead, Denise.
Well, one of the things that they weren't just limiting it to the MMPI. They were also looking at other tests. And one of the most unreliable tests is called the Rorschach. I don't know if you've heard of that.
NFL gives it to players during the draft, the Rorschach test, to give to every draftee.
That's where they're shown a picture picture, and then they have to say this is what they see in the picture, and then the psychologist interprets that. It is so subjective, and believe it or not, that is sometimes given in family law matters. Not as often, but it is sometimes
Can
given
in family law
matters.
Can you see me taking that test? What do you see in there? A cheeseburger. What do you see in this one? Hot dog. I'm on a diet.
It reminds me of the joke about the guy that was doing the Rorschach test, and every time the doctor brought up some heat, you know, the guy would respond, well, I see a naked woman, I see this, that, and the doctor says, well, you know, I think you may have a problem here, and the guy says, I don't know, you're the one with the dirty pictures.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well,
interpretation is a big issue.
Yeah, no, exactly. So here's what they're finding. Go ahead. They looked at hundreds of these that we talked about, and they found that one-third of those exams were not reviewed in the field's most prominent manuals. And of those that were reviewed, that they did review, 40% were graded favorably. Again, only 40% were graded favorably. Nearly a quarter were deemed unreliable. And the courts allowed him in.
So everybody either takes the test, has a 6 out of 10, is either loony, or the test, the determination,
or they can't tell.
Yeah. So 60%, that's a lot.
Well, I don't know the numbers. There's so many numbers here, it's confusing.
Here's kind of a thing in the family law arena, too. When they're being recommended by child custody recommending counselors or child evaluators or custody evaluators, they're recommending to their other professional friends. So they're recommending these parties go to psych evals, and then they're basically helping their other mental health professionals to make money. And it's not unusual in this area for it to be a $7,500 proposition.
Yeah.
And in other areas, in the Bay areas, it could be $10,000 to $20,000.
Are the lawyers going to kick back or commission?
No. But these psychs are making money.
Well, and you talked about how very rarely these are challenged in court, right?
3%, right. According to their study.
And practically speaking, think about this. You get a person that might be subject to that test. They're a criminal defendant. They got no money. They get appointed a public defender, which on average is an attorney who's only been a couple years out of law school, right? And this young attorney just out of law school is going to go toe-to-toe with a professional expert witness. I'm telling you, that's the hardest cross-examination to do. The experts in the mental health field will eat your lunch.
Yeah, you have to have
your
own expert that can help you. There's just no way. And cross-examination of experts is tricky anyway, but you have to have a basic understanding of what these tests are supposed to be doing and how they can be interpreted and how they can be misinterpreted as well. So always having your own expert is going to be important. But most family law parties cannot afford this type of evaluation process. And honestly, if you have a personality defect...
Well, that's fascinating. It really is. But not as fascinating as Quick Takes, Todd.
Well, this comes out of a case we talked about just briefly, but anytime somebody asks me why I don't date, I'm now going to point to what's going on in Idaho.
And I'm saying the child custody recommending counselors and custody evaluators need to stop recommending psych evaluations in every case. Period. It's not necessary.
Sotomayor is not happy with the majority's latest ruling on immigration. I just have one thing to say from famous Rodney King.
No. Can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we stop making it horrible for the whole
Let's all get along. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Radio Law Talk. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on the mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.